The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Joining us will be co-host TJ Inman here in a few minutes. Today we're going to take a look at some players to watch that we have seen during camp who have stood out and players to keep an eye on for the regular season this year. So sit back, relax, take some notes, and hopefully we'll get you to have some players to follow this year, some sleeper guys and whatnot. TJ, welcome back, and how are you today?
I am doing well. It's pretty hot and humid, so I'm hoping the guys are staying hydrated at camp, and I know they've picked up some two-a-days now, and you know, it's probably getting to the point where they're getting a little bit tired of practicing with each other and only against each other, and I know I'm ready to see them hitting other people.
Yeah, definitely, and, you know, it's been hot and humid down in Bloomington as well, and they've strapped on the pads. They started two-a-days, and, you know, it's the meaty part of camp, so to speak.
Yeah.
In terms of that. But TJ, we wanted to go over some players to watch, players to keep an eye on, guys who we think could burst into the lineup after a redshirt year. Let's start with the Husky position. It's a new position, and we'll see some new faces, some familiar faces, and guys coming back from injury who might step up and take that position. I wanted to start you know, with a note that Jamie Thompson, who we thought, you know, could be the starter there, would probably be the starter there. He's battling a turf toe injury that hasn't been a boot. It's tough to say, you know, when he'll get back in camp. I know during spring ball they liked what they saw, but it's a matter of getting the reps in, knowing the defense, and right now, other guys are getting those reps, looking a little bit sharper. And the first guy I want to talk about is Zeke Walker. Zeke Walker played linebacker last year. He was lost, I believe, in the Ohio State game with a Liz Frank injury. It's a foot injury that takes a long time to recover. But he's back healthy. He missed spring. And a couple days ago in practice, he had a pick six. Well, it would have been a pick six if Coach Allen didn't get in the way running him down the field, which would probably be a penalty in the game. But he looks good. He's a bigger guy. I think he gives him some more size in the defensive backfield, which is huge, especially when you go against some of these Big Ten teams like Michigan and Ohio State, Michigan State, guys who are gonna run the ball and be all over that. So that's a guy I want to keep an eye on at the Husky position, as well as a few others. Anybody for you at the Husky position stand out, TJ?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you talk about Zeke Walker's size. Yeah, he's listed at 6'2", 215. I think he's a little bit bigger than that. I'd say, you know, somewhere between 220, 225. But regardless, that 6'2 frame, you know, that's a big boost. And he's very athletic. You know, and you're talking about, oh, will he be able to pick up, you know, the tendencies of pass coverage and that kind of thing? Well, that's the question mark. But nobody has played the Husky position, so it's not like he's transitioning from linebacker to defensive back. I mean, it is a hybrid role, so it's not going to hurt him as much as if they were asking him to play just a straight-up safety position. A guy at that spot that I didn't think I'd be talking about at this point potentially could be working his way into the lineup is Marcelino Ball, a true freshman from Georgia that Indiana picked up late in the recruiting process. Tom Allen talked about that yesterday. He had some media availability and said that one of his first responsibilities or duties when he came to Indiana was really working on Marcelino Ball for those 2 weeks before signing day to convince him to come to Indiana. And I had, you know, just his age, he's very young, he's just 17. I had kind of thought the plan would be to redshirt him, but he has impressed in practice. And Tom Allen said, you know, he's from a football family. He didn't come here to redshirt. He came to play right away. And that would indicate to me that they plan on using him.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like he's 17.
If you look at his body,
I mean, if you look at him on the field, you'd think he, you know, had a year or two in college and you know, wasn't 17. And he's been impressive. He's a guy whose name has been thrown around a lot during fall camp by both coaches and other players. So he's a guy who, if Jamie Thompson doesn't come back, is going to get a lot of playing time. And, you know, it's very similar to have. Go ahead.
Very similar body type to Jamie Thompson. You know, he's listed at 6'2", 210. Like you said, very, very well built. And when I say he has brothers, cousins in the NFL that have played professionally, have played a lot of D1 football, Georgia Tech mainly. I was kind of surprised that Indiana was able to get him away from Georgia Tech, but he was intrigued by the possibility of playing early and intrigued by the possibility of playing. They recruited him to play this Husky position, so he's either going to end up at Husky, or if he got quite a bit bigger, which is still possible, since he is only, you know, 17, he could still grow some. It's possible he slides down to linebacker, but I mean that would take quite a bit of growing. So I would guess that he's going to be a Husky, and at just a true freshman, you know, he's got the possibility to play early and then play for a long time. But I think Zeke Walker right now is probably the guy that projects as the starter if Thompson can't get healthy. And maybe even if Thompson does get healthy, honestly, if Zeke Walker keeps performing well.
Yeah, and another guy to keep an eye on at that position is Ben Bock. He's been in the program now for 3 or 4 years. He's a redshirt junior, and he's getting to know this defense pretty well. And, you know, we heard in the spring that these coaches basically said Ben Bock was made for the Husky position. And he doesn't have terrific size, but he could add a little bit more bulk. He's still at 197, according to the media guide. But, we saw him play last year. We saw him come up with a couple good plays. And he likes to hit people, which endears him to the coaching staff and really puts him into play at this Husky position. So it's nice to see all this depth at these secondary positions. And it's something that, you know, they won't wear down now. As you saw last year with injuries, all those guys, and I was talking to Rashard Fance yesterday about it. So all these guys, that experience getting thrown into the fire last year because of injuries is going to pay off. You know, it accelerates your development. You're no longer wondering if you could play you're no longer doubting yourself if you're a good fit for college football. You're now, you know, okay, what can I do to get better? You're not going to be intimidated. You've played at Michigan State. You played it, you know, in a bowl game and in front of some national television audiences. So it's not going to – none of these guys are going to be intimidated by the big stage on the Big Ten anymore. Just a programming note, TJ, we're not going to talk about, the mainstays and the usual guys. You know, we know Dan Feeney and Timmy Cobbs and Divine Redding, what they have – to offer. Mm-hmm. So right now we're just going to focus on under the radar guys, guys who have redshirted, maybe guys who have been surprising a little bit. Next, I do want to go to the quarterback position and talk about that a little bit because really it's been more of a competition than any of us thought. You know, Xander Diamont looks a lot better than he did last year. He's gotten stronger, even though his weight is still, you know, low, and that's a concern about durability and all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of players that I've talked to about him talk about his moxie, his swag is what they call it, and that he's a fiery leader and he's easy to rally around. And that's something that, you know, really the coaches were looking at was who is the quarterback that these guys are going to rally around. Xander has thrown a better ball this camp than we've seen. His arm looks a lot stronger, and he's beginning to use his legs a little bit more in his throwing, and that has helped. And he's running well, too. So he's really gotten back into the race when we've all but counted him out. But not to discount Richard Legault. He's, you know, he's 6'6", 240. He's got the size. He's got the arm. You know, he has a little bit of scrambling ability, but nobody's really separated themselves from either of them. What's your take on the quarterback position? Oh, and they also said Danny Cameron. You know, you know what you get with Danny Cameron. And he has a good command presence and should be a solid backup. And you know, if they need to go to somebody they can rely on, Danny Cameron might be that guy to stick in if you need. You know, if things really get out of whack.
Yeah, I think it's a two-way race, which surprises me. Like you said, I think we're all kind of surprised that the gap is as narrow, if there even is a gap, amongst those top two. I'm very happy to hear that Xander Diamont has improved the arm strength, because really his frame combined with the arm strength that we saw in his first two stints as a starter just led me to believe he's not going to be a Big Ten starting quarterback. And it was mainly the frame, really, that just every time he got hit, I was thinking he might not get back up without being hurt. You know, a shoulder or, you know, a leg injury or something. And by no means am I advocating for that or saying, oh, I worry for the kid. No, I mean, it's totally up to him whether or not he plays. I worried that he was not going to be able to be consistently on the field because he'd get hurt, and you can't really rely on that to be your starting quarterback. But while the frame is still, you know, a concern, he has gotten a little bit bigger, and the arm strength has gotten better. And I do think that his mobility, if he can use it correctly, which, you know, the more time you get on the field, the better you learn how to use what you have. If he can use that mobility correctly, he provides an element to the offense that we've seen can give defenses problems. And I think that if Indiana was game planning to have him as the full-time starter, they would certainly implement his running game into the offense. And that could be exciting to watch.
And to go on that point, TJ, you know, when Wilson talked, I believe on Monday, he was talking about practice and play calling, which kind of leads me to believe that they might use two quarterbacks, kind of like
I think
how they use Trey and Trey and Nate. And now Xander's not Trey, but he gives you that kind of read option, read option with his legs there in the red zone that, you know, Legault doesn't really have, that Sudfeld really didn't have, and just gives you another thing to prepare for as an opponent. And that, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I don't think it'll be a true two quarterback system where you see him splitting reps or alternating quarters
or however they did it at LSU or whatever, but you could see specific packages being put in place for Xander. Yeah, situational packages put in place for him to get things, you know, jump-start in the red zone where IU had struggled, you know, over the past couple of years. And, you know, maybe take the load off of a little bit off of Lego and the running backs. So that's what we've seen out of the quarterback position. It's interesting to see that from the comments, that's what he was saying. But let's move on to the running back position. We know what we have in Divine Redding, and, you know, we'll wait to see what Kameon Patrick can give us later in the year. But one of the guys, and TJ, you've been on his train for a while, is Tyler Nate. He's a guy who, you know, people were shocked when they said it was 280. And you know, they said this at the media day, and you're like, oh no, he's, like, way out of shape and can't get anything done. But then when we got to see him in practice, you know, he looks 280, but, man, he moves like a guy who's, you know, 220, 225, and he's going to be a fun guy to watch, TJ. He's, you know, they're going to give him the ball in short yardage situations probably, and you might see him a little bit as a Wildcat quarterback. They put him when Big Ten Network was there. I think Dave Repson, you know, tweeted out that he saw, you know, that they put Nady in goal line situations, you know, again, to up that number. So Tyler Nady is a guy that Wilson has compared to Ron Dayne. He called him Ron Dayne, which is, it might be a little early for that. Ron Dayne was one of the all-time greats. And Tyler Nady is only a freshman, but we'll see. This is a guy who you've been very excited about, and I've kind of hopped on that bandwagon as well, as most of our other writers and hopefully our readers as well. But he's a guy who stood out to me. And, you know, the two other freshmen, Keontae Ennis and Cole Guest, they bring their own skill set to the table. They give an element of speed that IU will need, but with the depth that they have at running back, I wouldn't be surprised to see Guest and Ennis redshirted unless they could give him something. And Guest, you know, he gets the reputation as a smaller guy, but he's muscled up, and he's, you know, basically a bowling ball type of runner, and he's fast as well. So we'll see what he gives him. But the running back I keep my eye on is Tyler Nate. Do you have anything to add to that, TJ?
Well, I will never shy away from talking about Tyler Nate. I, you know, I was in charge of, for our site, of writing his signing day piece. When he signed, you know, we wrote one for every prospect, and I was in charge of writing his. I watched a bunch of his highlight film. He's from Euless, Texas. It's an area of Texas that, I mean, pretty much any area of Texas plays really good football, but Euless, Texas has been an area that specifically is a pretty powerful area. He was a quarterback at Euless, Texas, Trinity High School, and, I mean, he didn't look great throwing the ball, but it wasn't like, wow, that's just a big guy throwing the ball occasionally. No, I mean, he threw it around some, and it was not he didn't look totally out of place doing it. And when he ran the ball, I mean, he's just a guy that it does not look like would be any fun to tackle. It just looks like he would be an absolute pain for defenses to play against. He's not plotting. He does move his feet well. I mean, I think it's going to be incredibly interesting. We've heard really positive things coming out of camp, and when they signed him, they really liked the skill set and the creativity that Tyler Nate is going to be able to bring to this offense, the flexibility that he's going to add. I mean, there's a lot of different things that Kevin Johnson, Kevin Wilson are going to be able to do with him. And so far, it seems like, you know, the hopes that we had for him coming in have really only been upped since camp started. I think probably most realistic would be, you know, this year would be maybe short yardage back, And I think used as a guy that could be somebody you bring in kind of in second half situations to maybe help ice games. A guy that can just come in against tired defenses and just pound the crap out of them, you know, shove it down their throat. We've seen Indiana have success with that. I think that we're going to see them run the ball a ton this year because, one, they're really good at it, and, two, there's a little bit of uncertainty with the quarterback situation. And I think that they realize, you know, the best way to help your defense in a new system is to keep the ball. And the best way to keep the ball is to keep the clock moving and run the ball. So I think we're going to see a lot of it. I think we're going to see a lot of running backs get a lot of carries. And Nate is the guy that they're going to use in a lot of different ways. You know, he's been compared – he compared himself to Trey Millard, who was a running back slash fullback at Oklahoma for Kevin Wilson when he was the OC there. And I think that if you go back and look at how Trey Millard was used, he was used as a blocker, he was used as a short yardage back, and he was used in late games. So I think that we're going to see a lot of that. And if Nate can, you know, be a goal line quarterback, then I for that, and I won't hesitate to start writing the Heisman piece for 2019. I'm all in.
Yeah, and he's been a
slightly sarcastic and with the Heisman comment, people. You know, I'm being slightly sarcastic with the Heisman comment, but I really do think he's going to be a valuable member of this program. That's going to be a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, and when you talked, when we heard Kevin Johns talk yesterday, it was their goal is going to be to wear people out, and now they have a stable of running backs who bring a different thing to the table. On each one, and when they get Kameon Patrick back, it's just going to make them that much better. So it'll be really interesting to see who they use early in the year before Kameon gets back, see if they're going to save some of these guys a year of eligibility. I don't know what the limit or what the threshold is for plays for a red shirt. I know Kevin Wilson likes to play freshmen. It keeps them involved in school. It keeps them focused. It's very difficult. And at some point in our sporting lives, we've hit the point where we've rode the bench, and it stinks. Going to practice, practicing so hard for long periods of time and not getting in a game and not seeing any of the fruits of your labors really, you know, in front of you is tough. So we'll see how many plays Ennis and Guess get. I think Guess could become a really good kick returner for them. Ennis is a bigger back speed. He could play all over the field, but there's just so much depth at other skill positions. And let's transition now to wide receiver. We know what we have in Ricky Jones, Mitchell Page. Did you see Mitchell Page at the Olympics last night with the hair?
Ryan Lochte.
You know,
Lochte,
I think that was Ryan Lochte must have seen Mitchell Page's picture, copied him. So Mitchell Page is a trendsetter. He's also a terrific receiver and punt returner. Then of course you have Simi Cobbs. But behind him, one of the names that's being thrown around a lot is Nick Westbrook. He's a guy who burst onto the scene in the bowl game. He's been talked about a lot as a highly rated or highly regarded recruit. And he's just, you know, he's a big frame and he's a guy who, you know, has been impressive in camp. You see him becoming, you know, similar to Simi in terms of size. He's at 6'3", 215. So they're similar types of players, but you can see his development's a little bit further along than Simi was as a freshman and going into his sophomore year. I mean, Simi last year was a 1,000-yard receiver, and Westbrook looks every bit the part if he could get, you know, as Kevin Johns said, there's only one ball. If you could get him the touches, Nick Westbrook's going to be very good. And Luke Timian, again, another guy who burst onto the scene at the end of last year, is another guy people talk about, and he's light years ahead of where he was last year. So this wide receiver group is very, very deep. You bring back Jayshon Harris again from injury. And Kevin John said him and Mitchell Page are, you know, a great 1-2 punch in the slot, and really you don't lose much if one or the other plays. And he said, we're not thinking of it as ones and twos. We're just going to roll receivers out and try to wear out the opponent, because they have the weapons to do that. As long as that, are there any wide receivers for you that stand out that we've missed?
Well, I think the only other guy that I'm interested to see, one, Donovan Hale. We talked about his potential and just kind of the, Swiss Army knife that he could provide for the offense with his athleticism. You know, you're not entirely sure how he's going to be deployed, but at some point you're going to try to get him the ball, and he has the potential to make big things happen. The other guy's going to be Isaac James. You know, I'm not really sure where he's going to fit in. He's size-wise probably a slot guy that you put there right behind Page and Harris for sure, but you know, maybe he's kind of that third slot guy. I think it's very possible that you see 9 receivers kind of see action. Now, that's not going to be equal action by any means. I think the first 3 you're going to see play the most. You're going to see the next wave is probably going to be Harris, Westbrook, and Luke Timian, and then kind of that third group is going to be Donovan Hale with Isaac James, and then maybe, you know, the ninth guy being maybe Marquis Hawkins or Casey or Mack or Phil Banker. But I think those top 6 are very, very solid, and then Donovan Hale and Isaac James kind of other guys that you could put in there. But I do think that Luke Timian is gonna really have himself a nice year. I liked watching him play last year. He made a pair of big catches, a clean route runner, and I think he is a little bit bigger than what he looks on TV. Just when I look at his measurables, I think he's either gotten a little bit bigger this offseason or I just didn't realize that he was as physically big as he is, but
yeah,
I think he's in for a good year.
6'193". 6'193" for Luke Timian, and to go back on Isaac James, he's, you know, if you want to compare him to somebody, I think Ricky Jones is a good comparison. Jones is 5'10", 185, Isaac 5'11", 194, so, you know, they use Ricky Jones both in slot and outside. I think Isaac James could be that guy to move around as well. It's, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches for the Hoosiers at these skill positions, and it'll be really, really interesting who they decide to play, and where they play. Taysier Mack has made a few great catches. Donovan Hale is a terrific athlete. He's shown great hands. Anything that's, you know, within, you know, maybe a 3-foot radius of him, he's catching. He's got great, great hands, and he'll play. You saw him last year make a diving catch against Michigan. He's just got to get the nuances of receiver down. He didn't play receiver in high school. He was banged up last year and limited in practice time. So he's really, you know, and he was at quarterback in spring ball. So getting him to know the position, he's a guy who might come on later in the year as he gets more reps. And gets more comfortable at that position. I think next, TJ, we'll go on the defensive line. There's not many people who we haven't talked about already, but, you know, one guy that might sneak up on people is Alan Stallings. He's going to be counted on to be that rush guy off the edge, maybe. And really, if he, you know, puts on a little bit of weight, he could give the Hoosiers that pass rusher they haven't had in a long time coming off the edge that people have to game plan for. And then you see the difference in Nate Hoff and Ralph Green stepping up, being leaders. The expectations on defense are, we want to be the best. It's not we want to be mediocre. It's we want to be the best defense that we can be, and we want to be a great defense. And I know all the talking heads, us included, like, if you could just not be a tire fire, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. in reality, you know, winners want to be the best. Winners don't, you know, as my mom said in school, you know, let's shoot for the A and go for that. Let's not shoot for a C just to pass. So, you know, might as well, you know, shoot to be great. You know, it's and maybe hopefully you'll see Stallings come off the edge and make a difference. Or is there anybody on the defensive line you think might, you know, jump out on the scene and surprise people?
Well, I mean, pass rush is certainly the largest unknown for the defense and really the football team as a whole. It's an area that, I mean, you know, we're just talking about the offense and we were, you know, mentioning the all of the different running backs, the different skills that they have and how Indiana's going to run the ball a lot more. And then we switched over to wide receiver and we're, you know, gushing over how many options they have at wide receiver. And I don't think we're, like, you know, overselling this. I think that it is true that they've got a ton of offensive weapons at the skill positions. And then we switch over to the defensive line. And I think it's a different story. You know, they do have some quality players there, but it's an incomplete picture. It's guys that haven't proven it yet, guys that had a poor season last year, or guys that are switching positions and we just don't know. Or in Alan Sullivan's case, a guy coming in that, you know, looks like, yeah, he could turn into a very good pass rusher. He has the physical tools to get that done, but will he be able to do it, and will it be this season? It's asking a lot for that to happen, but if I'm looking at anyone besides Stallings, I think the two guys you have to look at are Jacob Robinson, who, you know, he's the most known of the pass rushers. He needs to have a better year than he had last year. He was good as a freshman, but he needs to be very good as a sophomore. And then Brandon Wilson, redshirt freshman that looks like a prototypical pass rusher. He needs to play like one, needs to, you know, be able to contribute with a handful of sacks. That would be if Indiana could consistently pressure the quarterback, that would be a huge step for this pass defense to improve because, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast before. Yes, the secondary has to play better, but the secondary would be helped out immensely by a good pass rush.
Yeah, you could have, you know, Darrell Revis and, you know, Patrick Peterson and whoever else back there. If you don't get a pass rush, that quarterback's going to pick you apart. You can only defend for a certain amount of time, and then you get worn out. So pass rush is something that's gonna be, you know, looked upon as needs improvement going into the season. And, you know, basically next man up. If one man's not producing, they're going to go to the next person because this staff wants to win. They want to get back to a second bowl game in a row. For the first time in 25 years, so it's all hands on deck on the defensive line, and we'll see where they go.
Real quick, along the line, I'm going to ask you. You know, it's hard to judge defensive line play in camp, but how do you think the transition is going for the guys that have switched from linebacker to that? Calling it the bull position, but really it's another defensive lineman. How do you think that the transition's going for the guys like Gooch and Sykes?
I think it's going pretty well. You know, we haven't really seen a lot of – we saw one padded practice where they went against the offensive line, and that's it. So in a limited amount of exposure, they've looked – they've looked all right. Nothing's jumped off the page. They're not tackling the quarterback, so it is hard to judge. But you saw the offense put the ball on the ground, you know, three times the other day, and a lot of that has to do with the defensive line getting their hands in on the runners, and they didn't really see any long you know, long passing plays, long running plays, where the guy breaks through the line and runs upfield, a la Ezekiel Elliott last year. But you also saw a few quarterback hurries, which maybe if it was a real game would have been sacks, but you saw a couple of quarterbacks running for their lives a little bit, and that's a good sign along this defensive line. And the energy on defense, they're, you know, after talking to some defensive people yesterday and talking to Coach Allen, it just seems that their energy is better than the offense. Their energy, they're coming out hyped up all the time. And they said it's really easy to do that with Coach Allen there. And they're just out there trying to out-hustle the offense. And, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, it takes no talent to hustle. These guys are hustling all over the field, getting better, making plays, building their confidence. And hopefully we'll see that pay off against Florida International. But as far as Sykes and Gooch go, they're on the field. They're getting reps. They're getting better. And we'll see how they transition in the game to that end position from where they were last year. Playing with your hands in the ground is a little bit different, but hopefully they've had enough practices, and Coach Hagan is a great coach and will coach these guys up to hopefully where they're ready. But let's switch lines for a second to the offensive line. We know Dan Feeney, we know Jacob Bailey, we know Demetri Camille. One guy who might see some playing time because of an injury is Coy Kronk. This is a guy who Wilson has praised a lot. He's, you know, called him a very good player. He might play as a freshman, kind of like Brandon Knight last year. But with Brandon Knight going down with a foot injury, we don't know how bad it is. Hopefully we'll see and find out at practice tomorrow or on Friday, whether or not he's, you know, back on the field playing. But, you know, if they lose Brandon Knight, things might shuffle around and Coy Kronk might be that next great Hoosier offensive lineman we see. Anybody else on the offensive line that you think could make an impact this year?
I'll mention along the with Coy Kronk there, one of the Big Ten Network analysts, I think Howard Griffiths, mentioned Coy Kronk as a guy that stood out to him, and you know that's a name that he had gotten from talking to the coaches. You know, those guys, they're on that Big Ten Network camp tour for a day, and they're getting a lot of their information from, I mean, I'm sure they watch, but they're getting a lot of what they are going to say, and you know, they parachute in and they're going to talk to the coaches. And clearly the coaches are pleased with the work that Coy Kronk is doing, enough to mention it to Griffiths. And then for him to probably have that name stick in his head as he's watching practice. And then Kronk stood out to him. So he mentioned Kronk's the guy that he was looking at as somebody that could step in this year if they needed him to, and could also, you know, develop into, like you said, the next great Hoosier offensive lineman, as a, you know, as his career progresses, and it could be sooner rather than later that we see Coy Kronk on the line. So that's good. As far as other guys, I've heard Kevin Johns mention the name of Wes Martin as a guy that has improved his, and they feel good about him being able to step in and be a starter this year. So I guess Wes Martin is a guy that is not as heralded as the other names on the offensive line, but, you know, another veteran offensive lineman that they're going to count on this year to be a part of that really strong unit.
Yeah, and, you know, the offensive line, you know, there have been fans who might be worried down the line about depth.
No.
But, you know, look, this program hasn't been that successful to where you could write off a season. Just enjoy this year. This year is going to be fun. You know, we've been waiting since probably December 27th, all of us, for the next game. And, you know, while, you know, basketball was fun, enjoy it, you know. Just enjoy the season. Don't worry about next year. I know, you know, you'll see the recruiting class in February. Things change. That's the one thing under Kevin Wilson that you could probably count on, is that the recruiting class is not going to look like what it is today, it won't look like that in February. Guys will, you know, some guys will leave. He'll add some guys late. You saw it last year. You saw it a couple years ago. It's going to happen. That's just the way the recruiting game is. And he does a very good job of putting together, you know, good classes. So enjoy the year. Enjoy this offensive line. This is the most veteran offensive line that IU's had in the Wilson era. These are all the guys they brought in and came in and wanted to set the standard of being the best in the Big Ten. And some people laughed at that, and some people left not believing in it. But look, if you look at it now, they're arguably the best offensive line in the Big Ten. They had two All-Americans last year. They bring back Dan Feeney, preseason All-American this year. You have Jacob Bailey, Wes Martin, Wes Rogers. You have Demetria Camille, who might be, you know, is probably the most underrated offensive lineman in the Big Ten. You know, not a lot of people talk about him, but he's a guy who's been there for IU, who's played in a lot of games and has been a stalwart on that offensive line. He went to media days, and that guy could play. So enjoy this offensive line, because this, you know, might be one of the best offensive lines in the country, definitely in the Big Ten. So enjoy it. But that spiel is over. Is there anybody we're missing, TJ, in terms of sleeper guys bursting onto the scene?
Well, I'm just interested in who's going to end up at that second cornerback spot. We know Rashard Pant's going to be at the one, and we've speculated about who's going to be that second starting corner. Now, it's going to be a rotation. There's going to be, you know, a lot of defensive backs to play, but I'm interested who that second guy that gets the most snaps is going to be. Just a name that I've singled out, just because we, you know, it's the way we're doing this. The name that I've singled out is Tyver Green. And I think that for me, that would be an ideal scenario, is if Tyver Green steps up and plays to the level that he, you know, makes himself the number two starter. I say that because of his size. You know, he's 6'3", and I think having a long 6'3" guy on the outside as a second corner, number one, it would pair really nicely with Rashard Pant, who is not that big, and number two, give Indiana a guy that could guard some of these bigger receivers. We saw Michigan torch him with that, and those guys are back. Darbo and Chesson are back. Penn State has some bigger receivers as well. Florida International has Owens. So I think if Tyver Green could step up his play to where he earns that number two spot, I think that would be the ideal situation for Indiana.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, now they have some depth back there. We'll see how they play. But
yeah,
a lot of guys cut their teeth last year playing due to injury. And a guy – you know, who we forgot to mention in the running backs preview is Devontae Williams. He was back there as well last year, so he's out of the mix at corner, but back at running back, who gives IU at running back a big home run threat, I believe, until Camion comes back, and really he could do some things as well. But as far as corner, you know, a guy I think could play a lot is Andre Brown, and he might have not looked great last year, but there are plays where you saw his instincts were okay, and maybe he was thinking too much, but he made some terrific plays. He broke up that pass, I believe, against Southern Illinois to win that game when it looked as if IU would crumble under the pressure there a little bit. But he's a guy who, maybe in different matchups, if you're going against a bigger team with a bigger receiver, you could see Tyler Green starting. If you go against, you know, somebody who with a faster receiver, you might see Andre Brown going. He's not too small either. He's 6'195". That's more of your prototypical corner size than maybe, you know, you'll see them switch, and you'll see a lot of guys play, especially with this up tempo opening a year down in Florida, where it's going to be hot and humid and all of that stuff. It'll be interesting to see who plays there. Another guy to keep an eye on is Wesley Green. He might be in the mix there. Coaches have mentioned his name a little bit. But, you know, it's anybody's race at that other corner. You know, Rashard Pant is locked in at the number one corner, and you go for there. But, yeah, corner will be in a wide-open position. On the depth chart that they put out during media day, which I think is the same depth chart they had in the spring, it was Andre Brown first, Tyler Green second at that other corner. And then you see Leon Thornton was backing up Rashard Fant. And Thornton is an interesting prospect as well. He came in as a wide receiver, switched to corner late in the year, played in the Maryland game in those last three games on defense. And he's a guy who, for a guy who's switching from offense to be listed on the two deep in spring, you know, going into fall camp, it says a lot about his football instincts. And we saw him make a couple plays last year in limited time at corner where, you know, he had a great form tackle. He knew where the play was going, and his instincts took over. You saw him make a couple plays on special teams as well. So that's a guy to keep an eye on as well to crack that two deep. But, TJ, always a pleasure talking IU football with you. Hopefully we'll be back on soon. And soon enough, we'll have our pregame podcast. It is 22 days away. And, you know, we'll have our pregame podcast on, I will figure out the day, but either the Monday or Tuesday before that Thursday game. So, TJ, yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day. It looks like it might rain here, but enjoy it anyway.
Yeah, you know, humidity will only be like 250% then, so we're good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Follow us on at @Hoosier_Huddle. Keep coming back. We'll have our wide receivers preview out later this evening, running backs coming later in the week, as well as our final season preview of opponents. We'll break down the bucket game this year. That'll come either later today or later in the week as we move through. But thanks for joining us, as always, and enjoy the rest of your day.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.